Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Golf Talk Live. I'm your host, Ted Oderico, and it's June 20th, 2013, another Thursday evening here with me. And tonight, actually, I feel very blessed. I've actually got two guests this evening. The first one I'm going to introduce in just a moment, but I just want to make a quick correction on last week. I had mentioned about those of you that wanted to go to our Facebook page. It's actually www.facebook.com/golftalkliveblog. You have to have the blog on there. There is somebody else that goes by a similar name, and just want to make sure, not that I want to take any likes away from them, but certainly we want you to come in and like our program as well. So there's a Facebook page there. So just remember facebook.com/golftalkliveblog and throw a few likes our way. Again, we're live here Thursday evening at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're going to be on until 8 tonight. As I said, we've got two great guests, and the first one I'm going to get to, her name is Deanna Zenger, and she is the Executive Director of Association of Golf Fitness Professionals and also Hole-in-One Pilates International. And she's going to be here tonight to discuss the importance of golf conditioning, injury prevention, and also talk a little bit about 3D motion capture and a whole lot more. So without further ado, let me welcome you to the show. Welcome, Deanna.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I've been certainly, as I was just mentioning to Deanna off the air, really the premise of this show, and I'm sure most of you that are tuning in live right now have heard me mention this on a number of the episodes, but really the premise of this program is we want to bring not only the teaching professionals, but golf industry professionals in general, and also those in the fitness profession, really on here to help not only the teaching pros, but also the average weekend golfer out there that really doesn't understand some of these things. So, Deanna, let's just jump right in. And I had a first question, really, how do we get ourselves golf ready from a fitness standpoint? What do we need to do? What do we need to be thinking about to get ourselves prepared to go out and play golf?
Well, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what golf fitness and conditioning is, because it's grown into be quite a buzzword right now. And basically, mm-hmm. It's just having someone take a look at your body and do some assessment testing to see what part of you needs to be improved. I mean, you know, if you're my age, I'm not going to say what that is, most people have kind of shortnesses, and whether it's their stability, their mobility, their posture, their foot posture. And golf is a very physical sport. You know, people have struggled really hard and have not improved their swing because they don't address the physical side. You know, golf is a physical sport. And, you know, if your body just doesn't have what it takes to have a good golf swing, it's just not going to happen. And some of the areas that we really take a look at is we take a look at the hips, your pelvic stability, your pelvis being your hips and a lot of other complex, you know, muscles and so on in there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We find a lot of restriction there for most people. They're either very restricted or they're very loose. Well, you really, really need to have both the mobility and the stability in that one important area of the body to really have a great mm-hmm. swing. You know, you need to be able to swing your arms around. But your spine is the connection between your arms, your pelvis, and everything. Like, you need to have good spinal strength and you need to have great posture.
Right, you know, and I agree. Right, and I agree. Right. I think that a lot of people, especially as we get older, we lose a lot of our we get a little slumped over in our posture and things like that. And my guest actually last week, Brian Dobby from the Montclair Golf Club up in New Jersey, also is a certified fitness instructor in addition to a teaching pro, and he talked a little bit about that as well. I didn't want to get into too much of it because I knew I was having you this week on the program. But, you know, he mentioned that about the core and spine and things like that. And I agree, it's so important. And I think, as I just mentioned, as we get older, a lot of those areas tend to get a little bit weaker, especially if we're not keeping them in good shape. So what can we do?
Can I tell you something?
Older
things, Dad? Okay. Mm-hmm. You reach your peak physical muscular strength and endurance in your 20s. When you hit 30, it starts to go downhill from there. Those are physiological facts, not my rules.
And I can attest to that.
Well, and if you don't physically do things to keep yourself active, and going out and playing golf once a week, doesn't cut it as far as staying physically active, the muscle strength and the muscle endurance and the postural changes happen. You know, it's just the fact of, like, we see a lot of guys that come, you know, in their 30s going into 40s saying, oh, my gosh, I started a family and I can't swing my golf club anymore. You know,
exactly.
What does family have to do with not, you're not swinging a golf club anymore? Because their physical activity has changed. You know, they're no longer playing hockey or whatever. But, you know, yeah, I've just had a family and, man, I can't swing my club anymore.
Right.
We hear a lot
of that. Right, and also too, I mean, as we've talked about privately when I called you a week or so ago, just in case you, I obviously didn't mention it, but Deanna is obviously Canadian as well as I am, and she's actually up in Canada right now, up in the northern part of Ontario, one of my favorite areas to visit growing up. But especially in that type of climate, when you only have limited, especially for golf. I mean, obviously we have winter sports up there and hockey and things like that. But for us golfers that grew up in Canada, you know, you're very limited on how much time you can get out there and play. So if you're sitting, you know, idle for the winter months and not out there swinging a golf club, and then you expect to pick it up in, you know, late April, early May, and expect that the game's still going to be there without really doing anything for those, you know, 4, 5, 6 months in the winter, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. And what we end up seeing is, oftentimes the golfer will go out and strain their lower back in their very first round, and that strain lasts with them all season. You know, and there's really no excuse not to stay active, because our instructors all have indoor facilities. I mean, I've got a driving net that I can fit in my kitchen, quite frankly. It's in my private studio, and I work with golfers on various components of their swing during the winter months, and our instructors all have programs for the golfers. And the thing that happens and what we find, you know, we use Pilates as one of our bases in what we do. That's one of the main modalities. We use other modalities as well. But the nice thing about Pilates, it, the golfer feels so good, it spills over into their other life, into their everyday life. And generally when they start with us, it's the joke is they become lifers, that they just continue because it has such an immediate effect on them. But also, they just feel great. All of a sudden, they can stand on one foot without wobbling. They can wash the bottom of their foot. They can, you know, turn around and parallel park without tweaking their back. It's, you know, conditioning is something we all need to do, because basically that's what keeps us young. You either keep the body working or it's going to start falling apart like your car in the garage.
Well, and also, you know, also, I think as the generations are coming forward now, like, and I know as an example, and you may have experienced the same thing with your parents. You know, my father was not an overly, you know, active person physically. I mean, he did certainly do some things when he was younger and that. But as he got older, the mentality was, you know, I'm looking forward to retirement so I could just sort of take it easy. Well, the generations today are not thinking that way. They know what lies ahead, and they know that they need to keep themselves more active and more fit if they want to enjoy their, you know, golden years, for lack of better words. And I think that that's something – again, why I wanted to have you on this show, because I think that it's important, again, not just from the average golfer's perspective, but also for the teachers. I mean, the instructors need to be in shape as well.
Oh, absolutely. And the three different groups that we teach movement professionals, that's Pilates, and sorry if my voice is cracking, but it's called too much teaching and too much travel. We teach Pilates and fitness and all different movement modalities. We teach the golf teaching professionals, and we teach medical professionals, and we're finding that at least half the class right now is medical professionals, because they're working with more and more golfers. As the golf swing has become much more physical, they're seeing more and more golfers. If they don't understand the swing, they can't help the golfer. If the golf teaching professional that's charged with having this golfer in front of them hit the ball, well, they can make them hit the ball, but they won't be able to hit the ball when they're away from that golf teaching professional, because they don't know what compensations the golf teaching professional has made them do. And you know what? I don't know who's to blame here. I don't know if it's the golf industry, and I know I'm going to get a lot of feedback from this guy, from this golf teaching professional, so bring it on, or if it's the golf consumer, because golf teaching is not really teaching anymore. It's become a series of one-off lessons. You either learn how to grip the club and stand, or it's to fix a swing, you know, fix a slice or a hook. That's knowledge. Golf is skill development. It's skill development. And people, you know, the golf pros aren't going to get someone to buy into 10 teaching lessons. They want to learn how to golf in two.
Right. Well, and just to, yeah, exactly. And just to touch on something that Brian talked about last week, you know, he said his ideal driving range would not be, you know, necessarily geared for the driver, but would be geared for the short game, just from a teaching perspective, mainly because of the industry, the club manufacturers and things like that are focusing on guys hitting it, you know, 250, 300 yards, and they're really not focusing on, unless they're specific short game schools like Dave Pels and some of the other ones out there. But a lot of them don't have that. And that's an important area as well that's really been lacking, I think, for, you know, several decades, is the fact that they're not focusing on the short game and they're just focusing on the long game. And that's why you see such a big turnover in drivers and the longer clubs and not as much in the rest of the set. And it's because that's what they're focusing on. And it's the same thing with fitness. Now they're starting to, because of players like Tiger Woods and some of the younger ones that have come on tour in the last decade or so, because they are more health conscious, you're starting to see that movement. But it really needs to be something that everybody is doing and not just the young guys.
Oh, absolutely. And when you think about the golf industry, no one knows how to market better than the golf industry. They know those drivers mm-hmm. are sexy. You feel great mm-hmm. when you make contact with the ball. They're not stupid. Okay,
no,
they know how to market it really, really well. But if you take a look at some of the progressive golf teachers that are out there, I mean, there's some golf teachers that, you know, I won't talk about on the show
just because
there's been some teaching methods. But then you've got Chris George at Kingsmill, for example,
mm-hmm.
where he teaches golfers, he has a sand pit. And a beginning golfer
right.
doesn't hit the ball for maybe the second or third lesson. They learn to whiff the sand. They learn to
right.
whiff the sand. And then they start developing, and it's a short swing, and they learn to whiff the sand, and then he draws a line, and then you make your divot after the line. And he progressively
mm-hmm.
teaches up and progressively is taking the club back further and further. They're not allowed to touch a driver till the sixth or seventh lesson, and that's how golf should be taught. But when you go out there, and if you go to a driving range, everyone pulls the driver out of the bag, and away
right.
they go. And I watch them
yeah.
for half an hour just hit the driver. And they have no idea of what they're trying to improve. They have no focus
mm-hmm.
when they go to practice. And most of them build in their own swing faults in doing that. They actually
right.
build in motor patterns.
Right. And I agree. There's certainly a lot of great teachers out there. And this is the other reason, really, I wanted to bring this program to bear, is that there's so many excellent teachers out there that really don't get a voice. I mean, they've got, you know, everybody's got their own websites. I've got my website, you've got one, and that's great, and we all are all about promoting ourselves. But I wanted to sort of have a centralized location that we can come together and sort of talk about these things, talk about, and not be so, and I hate to use this term, especially in today's age, but politically correct. I mean, you're right, there are some instructors out there, and I'm not going to get into names, but are more focused on branding and things like that, and really not teaching, I feel, that the way they should be, and others that have expressed the same interest. And I think what inevitably is happening is people are getting out of the game frustrated because they just can't improve. They're not improving. They're not really learning anything except for how to, you know, hit it, as I say, 250 or 300 yards. And that's fantastic, but what about the rest of the game?
Well, I think part of the problem, Ted, I'm going to get a lot of emails on this, is there's a lot of incorrect teaching going on in golf,
mm-hmm.
and incorrect teaching can never lead to progress or achievement. You know,
right.
Golf teaching has now become more of a try this or think about that approach, and there's
mm-hmm.
real no solid basis for continued improvement. Like if you look at any other sport, they have a clear knowledge, the instructors have a clear knowledge of what they're trying to create in their pupils, and they have an equal clear knowledge of the techniques that are going to get the pupils there. But it's skill development. And here,
right.
I can understand the golf teaching professional's frustration. The client wants to hit the ball. And the client, I can
mm-hmm.
understand their frustration because they can hit the ball great in front of that instructor, but when they go to the driving range or they try to take it on the course, they don't hit it the same way. They don't have a clue. And I'm going to go back
no.
to that statement that I made before. If they don't address the physical side of the golf swing, they're never going to get better, period. And that doesn't mean...
Right.
You know, I want to, like, if we've got any 60 or 70-year-old golfers out there, that doesn't mean that at that age you cannot improve your swing. Because
no, and,
I have,
and I'll give you, I'll give you, and I apologize for interrupting, just before otherwise at my age I'll lose my train of thought. But But anyways, I knew a gentleman back home that Nick Westlock, I had dated his daughter for a number of years, and also he was very close friends with Mo Norman, who I'm sure you've probably heard of. And of course, Mo was well up into his 70s before he actually he was in his early 70s, I believe, when he passed away. And Nick was, I believe, almost 90 when he passed away. But I mean, they played golf every day and that. And I used to tell Nick, you know, he always says, you know, I just find sometimes I get a little stiff. And I just gave him some very basic exercise and things that he could do. I mean, obviously, his age, he's not, you know, going to do some of the things that maybe you and I would do. But there are things that he still can do to keep himself flexible, to keep his strength up and things like that, and enjoy his game. And he used to do them religiously every day.
Well, I have a client, she's 73 years old right now. And there's a sequence of the backswing. There's a sequence of the downswing. Most people swing with their arms, which is really
right.
An inefficient, injury-laden way to swing a golf club. And she, her age, she'd never be able to. And when she first came to me, she had a lot of issues with her pelvis. She had a catastrophic car accident, and her pelvis was so out of alignment, one leg had to be hemmed 2.5 inches shorter than the other. Well, today,
right.
She does no longer that. Her pelvis is level. And slowly, we've been teaching her to swing from the ground up. And she's finally being able to do it. And it's just her, she has so much stamina. She's making the greens. She has so much stamina now. And she's 73 years old, you know. And
right.
For me, Ted, the whole thing is, honestly, the whole thing is about whatever, if it's a junior, a senior, whatever age or skill level, it's about that person having their best game, period.
Exactly.
That's it. If they're 93 years old and they swing their whole body, that's great.
Exactly. Just for the listeners that might be tuning in a little bit later, didn't get it from the beginning of the program, I just want to reintroduce my guest, Deanna Zenger, and she is the Executive Director of the Association of Golf Fitness Professionals, as well as the Hole-in-One Pilates International. If you want to call into the program, we're live right now for the next 2 hours. If you want to call in, Deanna is going to be here for the first hour. The number is 646-716-4667. We'd love to take your calls. Again, that number is 646-716-4667 if you want to call in. Deanna, let's just move on here with the fitness part of it. What are some of the things that we can do to minimize injuries?
Number one, it starts with your posture. It truly does. You know, and posture, you know, whether it's your school teacher, whether your mother is telling you to sit up straight, your posture, your swing rotates around your spine. And your posture is from the bottom of your spine, your lumbar area is called, to the mid part of your spine or thoracic area, all the way up to your cervical spine or your neck. So are you sitting down?
Yes.
Are you sitting down, Ted? Okay, your
yes,
listeners are probably sitting down. Go to the edge of your chair.
I'm right in the edge right now.
Place your hands across your chest and slump forward just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, inhale and turn to your and exhale and come back. Now, sit up nice and tall and straight. Bring your breastbone up. Now, inhale and turn to your right. And come back. See how much further you can go?
Exactly. Yeah,
okay,
it makes a big difference.
Well,
yeah,
it
makes
it. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
I got a very metal building, so if there's a bit of a lag, I apologize.
Not a problem. And that's the same thing, you know, obviously in the golf swing, that's what happens is when people get slumped over, they can't make a complete turn. And especially if their head's down and their chin, you know, is into their chest. That was one of the things that very early on that my father used to teach me was to keep my chin up so that my shoulders and upper body could rotate essentially underneath that. Because what would happen is, of course, it would get caught and I wouldn't be able to complete the turn. But it's also, you know, when you're younger, your posture is a little bit different. You have a lot more flexibility. But again, as we've mentioned several times, as you get older, your posture and that is not as good as it once was and your flexibility. So you definitely need to make sure you're doing things correctly. And like you said, swinging with your arms is just not going to be the proper way to execute the swing and get any, you know, positive results with it. What are some other things that we can do? What are some other things that we can do to
look at your feet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the first thing I look at, I've been trained that the first thing I look at is someone's posture, which we just talked about. And posture is your pelvis as well. Talk about that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But I also look at someone's feet because I can tell a whole lot about how a person swings their golf club just by looking at their feet and looking at their posture. Most guys stand out there looking like ducks. with their feet.
Right.
Right? You're laughing because you do this, right? So, and then we have this athletic stance, you know, I cringe when I see people, you know, being handed a driver and their feet are past their shoulders and they're turned out. Where do you think you're going to go with your hips? Where? Not going anywhere. What you're going to do is torque the heck out of your knees. Your feet don't need to be out there. Look at the pro's feet, okay? Feet are no longer turned out. You know, your feet should be almost parallel, maybe a 10%. I'll give them a 10% flare. I'm not sold on that, but I'll give a little bit. But you need to be able to balance. And especially as you get older, your sense of balance goes. And your balance comes a large part from your feet, okay? You have to have strong ankles. You have to have strong feet in this game because golf is from the ground up.
Well, and also, too, Deanna, I think a lot of it has happened over the years. The golf swing itself has changed. I mean, people don't realize this, but it has changed a lot. If you look at the way the golfers were, you know, 20-odd years ago compared to how they're swinging the clubs today, again, it's a much more athletic-type setup. So that you have to make changes. And I think that if you're still sort of doing the old thing in the old way, and you're not going to get the results really – I mean, it might be fine. Some people might be accepting that, and that's if they don't really care about how much they improve, then that's, you know, stay with the status quo. But if you're looking to improve your game, it's not just about how you're swinging the club and that. It's about how you're taking care of your body and how your posture and that all fits into it. Now, you also do 3D motion capture. Explain for those that don't know what that is and how you're using it to benefit.
Well, it's actually been around for a while, and you see, when we watch a golfer, they could have a really great swing, and then when you videotape them, you can kind of run it in slow motion, and you can break down that swing a little bit, but really to determine what is moving and what order. Again, we get back to that order of the swing. When you're going into the backswing, it's your hand, your arm, your shoulders, your hips, and your legs. Well, going into the transition and into your downswing, it's the reverse. It starts from the ground up. So it's your legs, your hips, your shoulders, your arms, and your hands. So pretty much if you stand up and do that in slow motion, you know, it's your feet that are going to turn the legs that are going to turn your hips. And at one point, your body, your upper body just comes along for the ride until your upper body takes over, which is like the last third of that downswing arc. Okay,
right.
We get to see that, get to really define that and see what's moving in what order. Why is that important? You know, we talk about the efficiency of the swing. Really, the efficiency of the swing is where you're going to get the most control, the most power, and the least amount of injuries. Because what happens is golfers watch what's going on the Golf Channel, and they read all these golf books. And, you know, I love Golf Digest and all those guys, so don't get me wrong. But without knowing the full story, without really understanding where that swing comes from and what part of your body should be moving when, they're trying to mimic it.
Right.
And most people also know where their bodies are. Like, I can put someone in the address position. Okay, so this 3D motion capture system, there are sensors between your shoulder blades. There's a sensor on your lower back called your sacrum, and there's a sensor on your hand. We're going to have a sensor on the upper arm within the next month or so. So even if you're just standing in your dress position, okay, it shows me whether your pelvis is, you know, whether you've got an S-curve or a C-curve, which is anterior tilt or posterior tilt. Tells me if your pelvis is even square, or is it open and closed. It tells me where your shoulders are. They should be, you know, they're not going to be square because you've got the right hand for a right-handed golfer down lower on the club. And for golf, you need a little bit of side bend. Who's taught that? What golf teaching professional is going to get into all that? I haven't even had a golf teaching professional teach my group because my group includes a lesson from a golf pro, and we don't introduce ourselves. This is just a golf lesson. Go for it.
Right.
You know, they're not introduced as to what the sequence of the backswing and downswing should be. You know, if you're standing there, and stand up for a second. This is important. Mm-hmm. Stand up. Okay.
Okay.
Are you standing? Are you standing? Okay.
Yes.
In rest position. You can talk at the same time.
Sure.
Your right arm into your backswing. Okay. Now, roll over onto your right instep. What happens when you roll over onto your right instep? Do you feel your hips starting to turn?
Yes, I can.
Okay. That's where the golf swing starts. It starts with that roll, and the hips have to start turning. And if you follow through with that, you can just feel that your upper body is coming along for the ride, right?
Exactly.
It's the difference between the tail wagging the dog and the dog wagging the tail. Okay, so many golfers are the tail wagging the dog, and that's not efficient, and you expend so much energy, you end up getting hurt, your swing plane is all over the place, your ball is all over the place. You will never, ever, ever be consistent golfing like that, ever.
Right. Now, obviously, and I wanted to get into the Pilates end of it, because obviously that's one of the areas that you specialize in, and I was, you know, looking through on your website, and we'll give that out a little bit later before we wrap things up, but obviously Pilates is different than some of the traditional fitness methods like weight training and cardio, and we talked about last week with Brian, one of the things that I always say, especially for men, and I'm speaking from the guy's standpoint here, a lot of guys go out and they, you know, they feel like they're in shape and they're working out in the gym. Now, some of the younger ones, of course, they're getting into more of the core fitness and that, but a lot of them are still out there and they're lifting weights and things, and there's nothing wrong with lifting weights, but if you're sort of going for that bulked up look and that, it's not going to be conducive to a good golf game. And, you know, obviously with Pilates, you're focusing on different areas. You know, you want to develop your core strength, stamina, you know, flexibility, range of motion, that sort of thing. What are some of the things that you're doing? You're obviously teaching not only to get instructors ready to be certified, but you're also teaching to what I would assume is the public as well?
No, my program teaches professionals that are already trained in Pilates how to work with golfers, because they have to have specific knowledge of the golf swing and the anatomy involved in the golf swing so they can better help the golfer. Like any Pilates program, just because of what it deals with. Pilates, by the way, isn't stretching. Okay, I get that all the time. Oh, yeah, it's just about stretching. It's not. Like Pilates is very, very precise movement. It's alignment and posture, stability and balance, focus. It's all the things you need for a golf swing. So the instructors that are already certified that come and take our program, they need to know what the golf swing is all about. They need to know the anatomy. More importantly, they need to know how to work with golfers that are injured. Because we see a lot of injured golfers. That's how I actually got into this many years ago, because I was getting so many golfing clients, and they were hurt, and I'm working with them, but they continue to be hurt. And that's just not, you know, normally when you're working with someone with Pilates, they get better very quickly. But if you don't understand what the golfer is doing in their swing, you will never be able to fix them. And so with all the movement people and the medical therapists, they're taught that. The golf teaching professionals, they're taught anatomy. They're taught what's supposed to move. They're taught to look at a golfer just as they're walking up to you, and I guarantee you by the time I'm finished with them, they're going to know what that swing looks like before they even look at them, before they even look at the swing, because there's characteristics when you walk up that are going to indicate how you're swinging that club. So it's important for a golf pro to understand in their world what they can fix immediately in the swing and what they're going to have to work with someone to fix physically so they can have a body they can work with.
And that actually answers really my question is how can your programs benefit an instructor like myself? And you've answered that brilliantly. I mean, it's so true. There's more to the game than just learning how to swing the club and how to, you know, set up and your posture and things like that with the actual golf swing. I think if people understand how the body works and what sequence it works throughout the golf swing, gives an instructor a huge advantage in teaching a student. And this is something that, and that's another reason why, again, I wanted you on the program, is I found it very intriguing because you don't hear a lot. I mean, there's certainly in the golf industry, there are some people that are out there that are getting into the fitness side and that, but it's really not something that they focus a lot on, as I said. And again, I'm not knocking anybody either, but the Golf Channel and things like that, they're talking about the tours, they're talking about different lessons and, you know, what you do if you're hitting a slice or this sort of thing. And that's great. People need to understand all that stuff, but they're really not focusing on the fitness or even the nutritional things that we need to do to help our game, because it's not just swinging the club. It's a sport. It's a very physically demanding sport, a lot more than what people really realize.
Well, they have, they've done some measurements, and the golf swing, off the tee, is equivalent to lifting a weight four times before total exhaustion. So you count how many times you swing during a round and be honest about it. And it's no wonder that golf has caused so much injuries. But you like, you know, going back to what you're saying, Ted, we've got this great scientific equipment. We've got all the 3D motion capture. Okay, so your client's got pelvic leg. What are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Getting your client to ballistically, you know, smack a smash bag isn't going to help his pelvic leg. You know, you've got
right.
a client that's got river S curve. Getting them to stick their butt out, you know, fine. You've just corrected something in the dress position. I'll show you the rest of his swing graph and show you his pelvis slipped right back into that position because you can't hold it there. You know, you can't hold it there going 90 miles an hour, and that's just your average golfer. So a golf
right.
pro, and the dangerous thing here too, and please forgive me though, the dangerous thing here is there's a lot of golf drills available online, and to me they're actually a little dangerous because the golf
mm-hmm.
public watch. Not understanding that there could be contraindications to them doing that. You know, the golf teaching professional wanting to have more information, bless their hearts, are watching these things
mm-hmm.
and applying them to their golfing, to the golf clients, but they're not getting the whole picture. They're not understanding
right.
that, you know, you want to talk about back pain, don't go there. Because back pain could be coming from a lot of different things that are so far outside your realm of knowledge. You know, shoulder inflexibility in the upper shoulders, okay, that stems from your spine. So what are you going to do about that? You know, you have to know that there's a role that the golf teaching professional has, but then the fitness person has as well. And unfortunately, there's so many people springing up right now that, and, you know, it's going to happen in any industry. You know, where the money is,
right.
then the Charlotte Gov. There's a lot of people springing up right now that really are dealing with the body in isolation, and just like you can't deal with the swing in isolation, it's not a series of static poses, neither is the body.
Right, and I think, right, and we certainly don't want, just for those that you are that have tuned in and are listening to Deanna and myself, you know, we don't want to certainly knock, and nor are we trying to knock any of the teaching professionals out there. Obviously, there are a lot of great ones out there, and there's a lot of them that are working in some of the things that Deanna has been talking about here in the last little bit. But there's also a lot of instruction out there that maybe is not as good, and it's, as you said, it's especially now with social media. I mean, anybody and their brother can post up and do whatever they want on different social outlets, and sometimes it's not always in the best interest of the recipient. And I think that you're 100% right. And this is, again, and I hate to keep throwing this up here, but this is, again, another reason why I wanted to have this type of program, because a lot of the programs are just not talking about these types of things. These are things that we need to, I'm a teaching professional. You know, I consider myself to be a pretty fit guy. I'm certain maybe not by your standards, but, you know, I'm still a pretty fit guy, and I'm going to be 50 next year. And I keep physically active, and I do a lot of different things. To do that, I've done, you know, yoga and that for the last few years. And let me tell you, that's hard for you guys out there that think that that's an easy thing to do. Let me tell you do an hour and a half of yoga, good luck. It's a tough, you know, thing to do, but it's very beneficial, as is some of the, you know, implementations that you're teaching in your Pilates programs. These are things that will help you in the long run improve on your game, and I think it's a great thing for the instructors, as we've talked about, to incorporate some of this, or at least have an understanding of it. If they're not going to do it themselves, at least have an understanding of it so that they can better help their students. Deanna, one of the things that I want to talk about just very quickly here is, obviously, you know, we've touched about how it's going to benefit the instructor and obviously the benefits to the club golfers out there. As a teaching professional, tell me a little bit about how the program works. If I'm a teaching professional, I want to take part in one of your programs, what do I have to do and how do I go about it?
Well, you can sign up online. We have
okay.
locations all over the world on a yearly basis. We're going to bring out some webinars starting this fall, because not oftentimes people can't leave where they are. Obviously,
okay.
the live experience is much better, but we've got several different programs for golf teaching professionals. The first one we're going to start with is anatomy. It's anatomy
okay.
and golf injury. And it's specific to what I bring out a lot of the science, but I'm going to take a lot of the science and a lot of things you guys are familiar with, but bring it into teaching points for you to work with your golf client and to be successful in doing that. Because it's just gotten to be so physical, but there's just so many ways that you can make such a huge difference in a golfer swing, but you have to recognize certain things. And unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
you guys are so awesome at teaching the swing. But again, it must be frustrating for golf teaching professionals is that body in front of them can't do it. And I'm talking from, like, even from juniors. We have a program, by the way, for golf teaching professionals for juniors, mm-hmm. because that's a very specific group of people. And you really have to understand what growth plates are. You have to understand the physical and the mental development through their teen years. I've just mm-hmm. seen some really scary things just from, not from not wanting to do a really good, great job, but just not knowing. You know, it's just
right.
the not knowing. And we also have a thing on marketing for the golf teaching professionals, because you guys are really great at your craft, but you're really lousy at marketing. So,
yeah,
awesome.
I mean, there's obviously
going to know about you.
Yeah, there's obviously some exceptions to the rule, but you're right. There's some guys out there that are phenomenal at their craft. I mean, again, we're not trying to take away from a lot of the teaching professionals out there that work extremely hard. We're just trying to find ways that we can make that experience that they're providing to their students that much better. And that's really what Deanna and I are talking about this evening here on Golf Talk Live. And again, if those of you that are tuning in live, and we've got, you know, a few more moments here, if you want to call in, the number is 646-716-4667. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, it is auto-recorded. So if you're not able to catch us here live over the next hour or so while Golf Talk Live is on the air, you can certainly visit the link, and it's blogtalkradio.com/golftalklive, and you can listen to the recorded version. And certainly, again, visit Facebook. It's facebook.com/, and I'll get it right this time, Golf Talk Live blog is the link that you want to go to, and throw a few likes our way. Let me just to continue on with the instruction part of it. Obviously, how long are the programs generally that you're offering? How long do they run? And is it like a week-long, two-week-long type of thing? And then, if you don't mind, give us an idea of what the costs are involved, or point us in that direction.
The the Golf Anatomy and Injury is a two-day course. Those are two very
okay.
long days, but I've tried to condense it because I know everyone needs to be back at the course.
Mm-hmm.
That runs about $1,000, and that includes your membership in the Association of Golf Fitness Professionals. The workshops are anywhere from $195 up to $395, and they're at least half a day long. So they're a really good value. And we have, once a year, we all get together. It's fitness, medical, and the golf teaching professionals. We all get together as a group. I bring in speakers, and it's a really great learning experience. It's an awesome learning experience.
Now, I noticed, again, surfing through the internet, and when I was looking at your site earlier, obviously your program offers the opportunity for some of the professionals to be a certified golf fitness instructor. What's involved with that program? Is that some of what you're talking about now, or is that entirely different to become a certified fitness instructor?
Right. So when they finish with the golf anatomy and the golf injury, there's an ongoing modular series to teach them effective, depending on, it's very interactive, depending on what they see happening with the client, we help them in determining what program they should build for them. Now, a lot of golf teaching pros would just like the knowledge of knowing what should I look at, and then some golf teaching professionals would like to work with a movement person. Sort of a collaborative thing, because there's a huge learning curve to what we have. Okay, there's a
mm-hmm.
huge learning curve to what we have. But we put our teaching professionals in touch with a movement person in their area so they can work together if they should choose to do so. If not, they work together with us through the different programs that we have and start gaining that knowledge. Are they going to be running a fitness industry, like a fitness academy? Probably not, because they really want to get back to their golf swing. That's been our experience. Like, we've had pros take the course, and they're really excited. They want to get into that. And then when it gets down to it, you know what? I think I'm going to leave that to the fitness people and the movement people. I'm
going
to get back to teaching golf, but now I'm going to teach it better. And now I'm going to have people to work with.
Excuse me. Well, and I agree. And I think that's really, depending on what you want to do, I think that's a great way to approach it. I mean, obviously, you know, you want to have more on the fitness side. But I think from a teaching professional, if I can find ways of making that experience not only better for myself, not just from a teaching standpoint, but from a personal, if I can get myself in better shape and better conditioning and understand my body better, if you will, then I'm going to be able to hand that over, if you will, or teach that to my students, giving them a better insight. And it's obviously going to help me to learn a little bit more. Really, it teaches you a lot about the swing, because if you understand not just the technical parts of the swing, you know, club positions and things like that, but if you understand the body and how it's mechanically moving in the different positions, then it's going to be a little easier, like you said, to spot it. Somebody walking up to the range, you can automatically see some of the areas that they're probably having difficulty, whether it's in the hips or their posture in general. And so obviously, if you can now incorporate what you've learned through your programming as a golf instructor and teach your students to not only be able to play better, but also to avoid injury, I mean, that's huge.
Are you there?
Yes. I mean, hello. You know, hello? Are we still?
You're breaking up on.
Are we still?
Hang on.
Are we still? Okay.
Now?
Hey, Paula, yeah, I can hear you fine. Can you hear me okay? We're having a little bit of technical difficulty here, folks, so just hang tight. We'll just try and see if Deanna can get back with us here. Deanna, are you still in a good... Maybe not. Well, I'm waiting for Deanna to come back.
Are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me fine now?
Are you there?
Can you hear? Yes. Can you hear okay now?
I can hear you now. I can. Okay. I just totally lost you. Sorry.
Okay. No problem. Well, I apologize to the listeners. We had a few moments of technical difficulties. Let me just real quickly, Deanna, just before we get back into it. Obviously, in the next little bit, I'm going to be joined by my next guest, Trent Warner of the Trent Warner Golf Academy, and he's going to be coming here to talk a little bit about golf in general, but also about his book, Golf Scrimmages, and he'll be joining us shortly to carry on to the rest of the program. But Deanna, what I was basically saying, just to, in case we got cut out there, and again, I apologize to the listeners here for those few moments, but basically what I was saying is the benefits of your program is not only going to help me as an instructor for my own game and keeping myself fit, but also it's going to make a better experience for my students, because I'm going to be able to spot things from a physical standpoint that I normally maybe wouldn't otherwise see, and it's going to be a better overall experience, a learning experience for them, other than just teaching them what positions to put the club in and how to swing it and that sort of thing. And if I can understand their posture and their core and the flexibility a little bit better, that's certainly a benefit to the students. And I think that that's a great thing, and I'm glad that you have this program available. Now, also, just to you also are a director of the Association of Golf Fitness Professionals. And I understand, again, going from your website, that once you become a certified golf fitness instructor, that you can become a member of this association. What are some of the benefits, obviously, besides networking with one another, does this association offer?
Well, we are producing an enormous amount of videos. That's what this entire summer is going to be about. The videos that we're going to be producing are going to be aimed at the specific markets. Like, I won't be shooting a video for a golf teaching professional the same way I would be for a movement professional. They'll have a different vein. So you're going to have all those at your disposal. But more importantly, they're going to be the whys of why you would do this and what you should look for to do that. The number of resources that will be available to you are going to be huge. And again, it's the thought of working together. It's not just the networking. It's the thought of us helping you be the best teacher that you can be. And most of that is arming you with the knowledge to be able to do that, you know, and the support. Because we are, you know, the people that we have on staff are constantly here for you, answer questions, look deep. You know, I've got this golfer, this is what I'm seeing, what are your thoughts? And then we go back and forth, and we end up sending them stuff. So, you know, and the people that you're going to be working with, you know, it's kind of funny. You touched upon, you know, the golf teaching professional and a better experience. Think about it from the client's point of view. If they go, if they go and take some golf lessons and they've improved, but they can't take that skill back to the driving range or to the course, it ends up falling upon the golf instructor. In reality, it's 9 times out of 10, it's the actual pupil. It's the actual golfer needs to have some work done with them to be able to better their posture, their swing position, and so on. So when they are working with a movement person, and we have a lot of these collaborations worldwide, you know, the complaint I get from the movement person is they don't get any credit for all this. Everyone thinks the golf pro is just, hey. It's like, hey, I just worked with this dude for 10 weeks. You know, but the golf pro is getting all the glory here, so it's actually a really good working relationship, and we put you know, that's not networking, because you wouldn't meet these people any other way but through us. You know, so we put resources, we've got medical questionnaires, we've got all kinds of educational things for you. I'm not a big believer in swing aids. We only have a couple that we actually work with that actually I feel actually do a great job. It's that kind of resource that you have.
Well, and that's great. And that's something, too, that, you know, we want to be able to make available to the teaching professionals. As I said to you at the beginning of the program, Deanna, it's not only the, you know, the average golfer that's tuning into this program, but also some of the teaching professionals. And again, I want to assure them that we're not trying to in any way say they're not doing a good job out there. They are certainly doing a fantastic job. What we want to do by offering Deanna's programming to you on the show tonight is just to help you find ways of making it a better experience, not only for yourself, but also for your students. And I think that it's certainly from what I've seen and what I've read on your site and so forth, I think it's a great idea. And there's obviously so much that you can't get it all in an hour. And I would suggest that that the listeners visit your site and contact Deanna directly. So, and that sort of leads me into it. If they want to visit your site, what's the website that they can visit?
It's www.hiopi.com. And the association site is myagfp.com. So it's my association of golf fitness professionals.com. We are just in the process of loading. We had to change service, or in the process of loading a lot of the goodies onto the association site. So that should be completed hopefully by the end of this week. I really hope to give to your audience a sense that there is so much information that they can have to become better teachers, and I in no way, shape, or form want to indicate that golf teaching professionals, you know, I don't want to portray any kind of negative impression of golf teaching professionals. I have learned so much from the guys around the world, like, you know, the Teddy in Atlantic Beach in Cape Town, and the Joe Williams at Indian Wells, and Chris Jordan. We have so many golf teaching professionals that work with us that have taught me so much. I'm constantly learning from them. But in turn, they're learning a lot of stuff, too, and they're just thrilled to be able to add that into their team.
Excuse me. Well, and just to add to that, Deanna, I think it's important that, and I think in this day and age, I think most people do understand, you have to be willing to change your approach, whether you're teaching golf or whatever, you know, you're doing in life. If you become too complacent and sort of set in your ways and not willing to learn new things and expand your horizons, if you will, then you're just going to stagnate, and you might be in your own little corner of the world, and things might be fine. You might have plenty of students, and that might be all you want out of life, and there's nothing wrong with that, and I'm not taking away from that. But I think that as the industry has changed with equipment and things like that, and also the way that the golf swing has changed in general, as you mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of people had that reverse C, and that's pretty much been eliminated by most of the golf teaching professionals now, and most of the players that you see on tour, you don't see the younger players doing that, that reverse C, and for obvious reasons, it was not good for the back. But we want to be able to really help the teaching professionals out there, like myself included. If there's information out there that can make it a better experience all the way around, then it really, I'm going to throw an old word in here, behooves you, if you will, not to at least look at it and investigate it. And Deanna has certainly given us ways to improve the experience to the club golfer and the average, even just if you're just even a weekend warrior and you're just playing maybe one or two rounds on the weekend, if that's all you can do, there is no harm in learning to better prepare your body and your fitness level to get out there and make it a more enjoyable round. Because believe you me, and I'm sure Deanna, you'll back me up on this, if you're in better shape and if you're learning to understand how the body works better and how to react to different situations and how to make it, again, a better experience, you're going to love the game that much more and you're going to want to stick with it. And as I said to and alluded to earlier, there are so many people that have given up with frustration because they're not improving or they're, as you mentioned earlier, Deanna, having injuries. And it just, you know, I can't do this anymore, and I'm just, you know, I'll just either stay as the status quo or I just won't play anymore. And I'm sure you've seen lots of that over the years.
Yeah, our main goal is to let people play their best game, and I'll underline the their best game, for as long as they can. Truthfully speaking, and we teach them to do that. It may not be the perfect golf swing, but it's what their body can do, and the golf instructor can do the same thing. You know, and
well,
we want to grow this.
Right, exactly. We want to, as you were starting to say, we wanted to grow this game. And as I mentioned to one of my earlier guests, Nicole Weller, who's also a teaching professional, she tends to gear, now she teaches everybody, but she tends to focus on some of the junior golfers at a very, very early age. And that's a great opportunity, really, to start as a teaching professional with that younger demographics, because then you can sort of get rid of some of these, or prevent, rather, some of these negative faults and things like that that get picked up. And obviously, if you can get them in good conditioning from a very early age, they're going to grow and progress and have a much better experience as they develop in the years following. Right. And
I agree.
So, Deanna, let me just sort of wrap things up here with you. Again, just if you don't mind, give us the websites. If those teacher professionals out there that are interested in maybe taking part in your program or certainly learning more about the programs, where can they go and how can they contact you?
The website is www.hiopi.com. The golf professional courses will also be listed on the myagfp.com website. We have a course coming up in Las Vegas. And then we're going overseas. We'll be in South Africa. We'll be in Australia, both in Melbourne and Sydney. We'll be in England and in Malaysia. We'll be in Kuala Lumpur.
Wow.
So there's a lot of opportunity there and a lot of interest from the guys from overseas as well. So it's a wonderful program. And please email me directly. It's Deanna, D-E-A-N-N-A, at H-I-O-P-I.com. I'd love to answer your questions, give you some feedback. Whatever you need me to do, okay, I'm here for you. So just give me a shout or send an email off, and I promise I'll answer you right away.
Yes, and I can attest to that. She's very quick in responding. I've sent emails out to others before, and quite often I have to wait a few days, and Deanna is very, very quick, as well as her staff. So I can certainly attest to that. Well, Deanna, as I said, obviously I would love to spend a lot more time, and we just have a few minutes here, but I really appreciate you coming on, and I would certainly, in fact, I'm going to insist that you come back as often as you would like, and we can get into it a little bit more. It's very difficult, obviously, in an audio-type format to get into some of the specifics, and that's why we want them to go to your site, and they can sort of get a better visual idea of what you're talking about. But I certainly would like to have you back on, because I think, again, I can't emphasize enough, it's not just about learning how to play golf and the golf swing, and all that stuff is great and it's extremely important as a golf teacher professional. I understand the importance of swing mechanics and things like that, but it's equally important, if not more important, to understand how the body's working and how it's affected by the swing and how it affects the swing if it's not all working in sync. So I certainly want to invite you to come back anytime, and I appreciate you taking this time to spend with us tonight. And I hope that some of your members will tune into that haven't tuned into the program because of time restraints and things like that, or just in a different time zone, that they'll go to that link. And the link is blogtalkradio.com/golftalklive. And they can tune into the recorded version at their leisure. Deanna, again, I want to thank you for coming onto the program. And is there anything that you just want to sort of get out there just to let people know a little bit more about what you're doing?
Well, I just want to say something. I want to reach out to the golfers in the audience tonight. And when we're talking about golf conditioning and golf fitness and so on, this is not something that's intimidating. This is not something that you're going to sweat and grunt and, feel awful for 3 days afterwards. There's really, well, because most people think, oh, my God, fitness. They're 50 or 60 or 70. Oh, my God, fitness. I'm not doing that. They're very, very easy changes that you can make in your body that actually feel wonderful and then improve your game right away. And you'd be shocked. The golfers are just so shocked. I was expecting to hear from Kenny from Ireland tonight. They're so shocked at what a big difference it makes in their swing. And it's just, it's a lot of little things that add up. because the golf swing is a lot of little things that add up. Your whole golf swing is cumulative. So a lot of the little tips that we give golfers and the conditioning that we do is not something to be afraid of, you guys. So go out there, get fit, get golfing.
Exactly. I couldn't have put it better myself. Deanna, it's certainly been a pleasure, as I said, to have you on the program tonight. And I appreciate you, all of the things that you've expressed to the audience. And I think that, and again, I sounded like a broken record here, fitness is so important, especially as we get on in years. A lot of people in the past, as I, you know, I mentioned earlier, alluded to my father, and not to, to speak ill will of him, but, you know, it just was not something that was commonplace in his generation. And, you know, there were obviously some that did, but more often than not, they retired and in their later life and traveled and things like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, obviously, as we get older, we start to develop ailments, which is inevitable. But I think we can prolong a lot of it. And certainly we can make it a much smoother transition in our later years by keeping fit along the way and understanding that. But the key is you need to be dealing with people that understand what it is that you need to do and how to best apply it, not just in golf, but in every aspect of our life. But obviously, this is a golf program, so we want to know how to be able to apply it to our golf games. So, again, if you want to visit Deanna's website and learn a little bit more, especially if you're a teaching professional, it's the website link is www.hiopi.com. And that's, of course, a short form for Hole-in-One Pilates International. Am I correct?
Correct.
Thanks. Not just a pretty face here. Deanna, again, it was a pleasure. I want to let you enjoy the great wilderness up north. I know you're up there with your husband and that, enjoying on the lake, while the rest of us are sweating down here in the south and other parts. So you certainly go and enjoy. And Deanna, again, thank you very, very much for coming on the program. And I hope that you will come back and visit us again in the future.
Oh, I will do. And thanks for having me. You'd actually be laughing because right now I'm swatting off the black flies. So I got to go, Ted. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Love to come back. And remember, okay, Folks, if it doesn't feel good, don't do it. That includes your swing. Go get it fixed. Okay? Thanks. And again, good night.
All right. All right. Thanks, Deanna. All right. Night. Okay. That was my guest, Deanna Zenger. She was the executive director of the Association of Golf Fitness Professionals, and also the Hole-in-One Pilates International, as I mentioned. And I'm just going to give you a little bit of information here about some upcoming guests while we wait for Trent to come on board. As I mentioned at the beginning of the program, I had two guests tonight, and you just, last hour or so, you've been listening to Deanna Zenger, and we're waiting for Trent Warner to come online here. From Trent Warner Golf, and he's out in Inglewood, Colorado, and is the author of a great book, Golf Scrimmages, which he sent me in the mail a couple of weeks ago, and I certainly haven't had a chance to read through all of it, but I've been reading through some of it, and it's a very, very interesting book, and I'm not going to get into really too much of it right now because I want Trent to talk about it when he comes on, but let me just, while we're waiting for him, let me just give you an idea. Next week, June 27th, again, that's Thursday nights. Every Thursday night, we've got a live broadcast. I'm doubly blessed. I'm going to have two guests again next week, the 27th of June, and that's first up will be Joel Zuckerman, and he's also an author. He wrote a great book called Pros Pro, Extraordinary Club Professionals Making Golf Great. And he actually featured a number of teach professionals from all around. And one of them, of course, was my first guest, Nicole Weller. She's featured in one of the chapters in the book. So we're going to quiz him a little bit about what he put in there for her. Also, that night on the 27th of June, Coach Tom Shaw, he was a 12-year Division I coach at both Vanderbilt and Tulane universities. And he's TPI certified. And he's also the founder of College Golf Game Plan. So he's going to come on and talk to us a little bit about not only at the high school level, but also the golf at the college level. And I really wanted to, as you probably noticed each week, as I'm reading out the guests, I'm trying to get guests that have a little bit, I don't want everybody sort of from the same area of golf. I want to get different areas because I want it to be an overall learning experience for us all, not just as teacher professionals, but obviously as the everyday golfer out there. And I want to be able to give a broad experience, if you will, on Golf Talk Live by having a variety of different guests and not just all sort of the same thing. So, again, Coach Tom Shaw will be joining us next Thursday at Golf Talk Live, and that'll be June 27th. And as I said, while I'm waiting for Trent, going on to July 4th, really looking forward to having this gentleman on. I haven't had the pleasure of talking to him yet, but I'm certainly going to be in touch with him before he comes on. And that is Don Law. He is a top teaching professional who started, of course, the Don Law Golf Academy back in 1999 and has grown to be one of the largest teaching centers in Florida. And he's down in the Boca Raton, Florida area. So I'm looking forward to having him, very seasoned professional. Want to get his thoughts on not only teaching aspects today, but a little bit about, of course, we want to let him have an opportunity to talk and brag a little bit about his academy, but also just about the way the direction that golf teach profession is going, his thoughts on that. And then we're going to be joined by even another seasoned professional on July 11th. Again, that's Thursday night, Chuck Evans. He's the executive director of instruction at the Medicus Golf Academies in Kansas City, Missouri. And I believe we have Trent Werner on with us right now, so let me just bring him on. Good evening. Is this Trent?
It is. Hi, Ted. Good evening.
Good evening. Let me just do an official. I was just sort of going over some of the upcoming guests and that. So let me just do a little intro for you before I bring you officially. So for those of you listening right now, you didn't hear Trent talking, so we're just going to do a quick intro here. Trent Werner obviously is a teaching professional as well as the owner of Trent Werner Golf Academies out in Inglewood, Colorado, and he's joining us live here in a minute. Now, just to give you an idea of some of Trent's credentials, and I'm not going to read them all off because, just to be honest, there's just too many of them, but Golf Digest rated him as one of the top 20 golf teachers in America under the age of 40. Also in Colorado in 2004, he was PGA Teacher of the Year, top teacher in the southwestern U.S. by Golf Mag, and he's also on the national advisory staff for TaylorMade and Adidas Golf. And, of course, one of the main reasons I really wanted to get you on here, Trent, is the book that you sent me, Golf Scrimmages. As I was just mentioning on air here, I haven't had a chance to read through it all, but I've read through quite a bit of it and certainly enjoyed it. So without any further hesitation, let me welcome my guest, my second guest tonight, Mr. Trent Werner. Thank you, and welcome to the program, Trent.
Thanks, Ted. Good evening. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I can't think of a better way to spend my day than talking with yourself and my other guests. I thoroughly have enjoyed starting the show and getting a chance to speak with a number of different, not only teaching professionals, but golf industry professionals from all over the U.S. And one thing I didn't get a chance to add before, just before you and I continue, is I'm actually getting a lot of interest from overseas. I had a gentleman that contacted me through Facebook this afternoon before I got ready for the show, over in Scotland, and he wants to come on the program as well. So we're starting to get some recognition around the world from other teaching professionals and things like that. So really want to keep that going. But Trent, let me just officially thank you. I know I did in an email on that for your book, Golf Scrimmages. And I got to tell you, this is a fantastic book.
That's
absolutely
great.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
And I'm going to a little bit later on, I'll let you plug on how we can how the others can. I mean, I got a copy sent to me, very special delivery, but how the others out there can get their hands on a copy of it. And I just wanted, before we get into the sort of the meat of the book, I just want you to tell a little bit to the listeners here, and just to let you know, some of the listeners are not only fellow teaching professionals such as yourself, but obviously the everyday weekend golfer and things like that. What was the thought behind writing this book? What was the purpose for you writing this book?
You know, I saw kind of a special niche. There are zillions of books out there based on mechanics, swing mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, frankly, those are the things that kind of draw people's attention and sell, you know, from a publisher standpoint or DVD or videos. And I work with a lot of competitive golfers, really good amateur players, a few mini tour players, and tons of really good competitive juniors. And we've always had a good mix in our academies and in our coaching programs with working with players to develop, you know, sound technique so that they can, you know, become more consistent and move the golf ball better from point A to point B. But there's always that next element of being able to transfer your game to the golf course. It's very common. I think every teaching professional hears, you know, that point from on a daily basis. I just have a hard time taking my game to the course. And I never saw such a book out on the market and started remembering all the games that I played as a kid and wrote them all down and put them all together. And there we have it.
And there we have it. Well, it's, you know, what I found really interesting, and we'll talk a little bit, and I'll let you expand on it. I'll just sort of give you from a bullet point form. But there's a lot of great games in this book. And I'll tell you what I take away from this, and you let me know whether I'm on track with it. This is not only a book that the average everyday golfer can sort of sink his teeth in, but this is really a great book for other teaching professionals to have in their back pocket, so to speak. And the reason why I say that is there's a lot of games and things in here that you point out in the book, and as I say, we'll talk about them in a minute or two, that really they can implement in their teaching, much as I'm sure you have. And this is something that, you know, I just can't emphasize enough. As you just mentioned a few moments ago, there's a lot of great books out there on the swing mechanics and things like that. But trying to get that transition for the golfer from when he's in your academy out to the golf course is probably one of the hardest things that I think most teaching professionals have to deal with. They look great in the range and in that environment because they've got the teacher there and so forth, and they've got all the apparatus that they're using and things like that. But then suddenly when, you know, Saturday morning rolls around and they're out with their foursome, their game suddenly falls apart and they don't understand why. And go ahead.
That's exactly right. And I think one of the misconceptions that everybody has is just beating balls on the range until you find it. And, hey, I found it, and I just hit 27 irons in a row that were really good, and I feel good, let's go tee off. And it's a whole nother ball game. It's not golf. You've just finally reached the point of striking the ball and maybe developing some sound mechanics, but you're right, there's still another step. And a lot of sports psychologists call that transfer practice. It's frankly what other sports spend the majority of their time on. So soccer players, basketball teams, football, baseball, they do drills, they run plays that mimic what they're going to experience on, you know, in the field of play or on the court or wherever they are. And golfers really do the exact opposite. They tend to spend the majority of their time just searching, and it inhibits their ability to spend some time in the competitive type of mode. So really, you've got to, even if you're a beginner golfer, I mean, everybody feels pressure. And so, like you said earlier, regardless of your ability level, everybody needs to be spending a decent amount of their practice time working on some games and putting themselves under pressure. We often say to our students that practice needs to be as difficult as or more challenging than what you experience on the golf course. And if it's not, it hits home right what you said. They're just going to falter on the course because practice is too easy. It's just ball beating. It's just 40 wedges in a row or what have you, and that's not golf at all.
Well, and the practice session has to have a purpose to it. I mean, you know, if you look at – I mean, I think what happens is they see the pros – warming up, you know, before, like, just to get onto the PGA Tour as an example, you know, when they see Tiger or Phil or somebody else out there before they're playing around, you know, they're starting off maybe with a few wedge shots and things like that, and they think that that's what it's all about. And, you know, before you're playing your round of golf, you don't have to go out and reinvent the wheel. We don't expect you as teaching professionals to do that, because you don't want to sort of, pardon the expression, but screw up that round for the day. You have to go with the game that you got that specific day. But when you're working with your teacher, or you're working in your own sort of practice session where you're not playing that day and maybe you're going to dedicate an hour up at the range, you need to have a sense of purpose. And this is where – let me just go into the book here for a second, because there's a very interesting chapter one, a balanced approach to improving. And the very first sentence, if you will, that you, and I'm just going to read it very quickly here. It is important to keep all of the things in your life in a personal balance. Explain to the listeners, how important is it to take a balanced approach to your game?
Really, really immensely important. I mean, if you're, you know, too many people work on their strengths, say they hit their driver well, so they spend a lot of time just ripping their driver on the range and whatever ailment their game, you know, whatever part of their game is ailing them, they tend to shy away from or not work on it as much or like you said, as purposefully as they should. So it's constantly about trying to find balance. And, you know, golf's an up and down sport. It's a very inconsistent game, and you're just trying to make it less and less inconsistent. But we all know that some days you hit more fairways than others. Some days you have fewer putts, and it's all over the board. So you're looking for trends. And otherwise, if you just chased whatever part of your game was ailing that day, you end up kind of chasing your tail. You have to look for trends and over time. So, and then the balance is, you know, when a person comes to me, I really have to kind of find out how much is this person going to improve if we work on this, the mechanics, versus how much is this person going to improve if they just practice better, they just practice smarter, they just practice under pressure. And usually it's, you know, ideally we try and do a little bit of both. But sometimes, you know, man, that's a great putting motion. And, you know, not just my eye, but the video and the Sam Putt Lab and everything shows it, man, we just got to put yourself under pressure more, in your practice sessions and develop a different routine. So they're always looking at all those different elements. And, I rarely have a lesson that I don't give someone a game, because I want them to go away understanding you got to take ownership here of the swing mechanics and get this better and work on it hard so you can see that the ball flight change and the improvement. But then you're not done yet. You've got to put it under pressure.
Right.
And, you know, I give a lot of seminars and presentations to some other PGA sections and college coaches conventions and just the public, and we always say, you know, what do you feel on the golf course just that question, what do you feel on the course? And I only get one try, and there's a consequence, and I get really mechanical, and you know, different lies and situations, and all of that builds the pressure. And you have to take all of those elements that we just mentioned, one try, different lies, a consequence, and put those into practice. It's not the golf course's fault why you can't play on the course or why you can't take your game to the course. It's what you do in practice.
Well, and also, Trent, just to expand a little bit on that, I think one of the things, and this is obviously where you need to have a professional teacher at hand to help guide you in that area, most of the people are, when they're at the range, they're hitting off really, in most cases, perfect conditions. And the truth and reality is, when you're out on the golf course, not every shot's going to be perfect. You're not always going to have that nice, you know, tight lie in the middle of the fairway. You might be in the long rough, as we witnessed last weekend in Marion with the U.S. Open.
Sure.
You know, and I'm going to get into that a little bit later with you. I won't. I don't want to get into it right now, but I mention it for a reason. This is something when I go myself, you know, when I'm up at the driving range, and I'll get, you know, sort of a game plan of what I want to do and what I want to work on, and I'll do little games myself. Obviously, I'm going to take some more from your book and try some of them, and I'll talk about those in a minute. But, you know, I try to do that. But you're right. I see so many people going up there, and they're not just playing, you know, getting ready to play a round of golf. Some of them are like me. They're just going up there to the range to kind of, you know, work things out. But they don't really seem to have any direction or sense of purpose. Now, maybe they're not in the throes of taking lessons and things, and they don't have somebody to help guide them. And again, I can't emphasize enough, if you're struggling with your game, you really need to visit your local teaching professional and get signed up with some lessons and let them guide you in the right way, and also provide you know, a better understanding of how to practice with some purpose. But you know, the one thing that I always found is those games gave me something to focus on, and not just, like you say, beating ball. Because I just see guys whipping their drivers out, and they're, you know, some of them are hitting some pretty decent drives, but then they start pulling out their other clubs, and they're all over the place. And then they go back to the driver and think, well, wow, I'm hitting a great drive here and there, but I'm not hitting my 7-iron, you know, all that great or something like that. And they just go back to what they feel comfortable with, and they're just not improving.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I think the worst place a golfer can be in is to kind of aimlessly be you know, grasping straws, reaching for trying to find something. And it's a bad place to be because, frankly, they'll just end up searching for, you know, some sort of swing mechanics the rest of their life. So even if, you know, your budgets are tight or what have you, or you're a little nervous about taking a lesson, I certainly back your comment on go take one lesson from somebody and tell them that you really only want to take one and lay out a plan for me as far as, mm-hmm. you know, this is why your ball does what it does. This is what you need to do to fix it. And you may run into this aspect on, you know, second, and just build a plan. My wife and I had a very old car, and we took it into a particular person, and we said, you know what, lay it all out for us. Tell us everything that needs to be fixed on this thing, and we'll he prioritized it and everything. And so we would just go down the list when we had the time, and we'd get certain stuff fixed on this car. And, you know, ideally, you know, a person takes some regular coaching. That's hands down the best way. And I know that sounds biased coming from a teacher or coach, but it's, you know, frequency, you know, it is true. But, you know, if you're a little nervous, interview people, do some due diligence and get on the phone and, mm-hmm. and go watch people teach and find out who you really think you can mesh with and whose message you like hearing, and get some sort of plan so that you do exactly what you said, have some direction and purpose.
Well, and the thing is, Trent, just from my own personal experience growing up, I mean, I'm obviously a teaching professional as well, so I, you know, you're preaching to the choir here,
yeah.
But you know, one of the things that I've noticed, and I agree 100% with what you just said about going, even if you just take one lesson, you really need to, your teaching professional, you need to develop a relationship with. It's just like taking your car to a mechanic. You know, some people may be more budget restricted and might take it to, you know, the cheapest person, but you get what you pay for, and you've got to be very careful. And when you're talking about something, especially for somebody that wants to improve and really play, you know, if you're just once a year type golfer or once in a blue moon, then I'll be honest, don't come and see me, because I don't want to turn away anybody, but if you're worried about, you know, money and things like that, and you're only going to play once in a while, then it may not be for you. But if you're somebody that's maybe playing in a lot of corporate events and things like that, or you're playing with a regular foursome and your game is just not there, that's when you really, I think, in my opinion, need to get in touch with a teaching professional and try. Most areas will have several at different courses and things like that. Take one with this person, you know, this week, and then maybe, you know, see how you feel. And if you're comfortable, go back. And if not, maybe try one or two others and just kind of get a sense of their teaching styles. And you know, it's kind of like developing a relationship, as I said, much like you would a mechanic. When you find a good mechanic, boy, you're not going to let them go. And it's the same thing with your teaching profession. When you find a good one that makes you feel comfortable and at ease and sort of speaks the same language, if you will, you're going to be at ease with that person and you're going to want to stick to it. And I think that, in my opinion, is the best way to go about it.
You bet. Well said. The relationship is huge, and you can create some great camaraderie and understanding and you know, inspire the person, create some confidence, and, you know, make some jabs back and forth at each other. It's a very, very fun process.
Exactly. Now, as I mentioned, Trent, I want to get into the meat of the book, if you will. So I'm going to just start off here. And of course, early on in the book, you've got some putting games, and I'm just going to name off a few of them. I'm going to start with one. Now, some of them that might be familiar with the book, or some of them might be familiar with these games, may know what it is. But I just want you to just sort of briefly expand on what the game is and some of the benefits from it. The first one is random. So just sort of explain to the listeners.
Yeah, the picture in there is actually just me throwing up, I think, 5 golf balls, if I'm not mistaken, and just kind of throwing them up in the air so they land around the hole, and that distance can be, you know, from 3 feet to 6 to 8, whatever you want, and they're just different putts. They're all going to – the ball's going to, you know, land on the green in different lines to the hole, and You know, you can make up a few games out of that, but basically try and make all five in a row. Per your comment a few minutes ago about, you know, people just see tour players kind of warming up and they don't see a lot of their really hard work habits behind the scenes. They certainly work on their mechanics or hone in on their mechanics, but they do these games a lot. They're always constantly putting pressure on themselves. For instance, Lucas Glover in 2010, I may be a little off here, he was ranked quite poorly in one putting from, I think it was about 8 to 10 feet away. He was ranked like 145th or something like that on tour, which is not very good. And he and his putting coach did basically a version of random. Is they put 8 golf balls around the hole at that distance that he suffers from, which I think was 8 to 10 feet or 8 to 12 feet.
Right.
And the simple game was he had to make all 8 in a row before he could leave, and that's really hard from you know 10 feet away, and that's not brain surgery, right? It's just hey. Work hard. His practice is harder, and that's what's going to. And so the great ending to that story is that in 2011 he went all the way down to 21st in putting from one putts from that same distance. So just a good game. Mix it up.
Well, and that just further really proves the point that we're talking about here. Is if you have a sense of purpose, and what I was really trying to say earlier, Trent, with some of the pros when they're warming up or practicing up before the rounds, they're just loosening and getting limber and just kind of fine tuning things. They're not there to again reinvent the wheel, but you get them after the round or in a proper practice session. And I mean, there's some guys, everybody from Tyre to VJ to Phil and all these guys out there. I mean, they're all doing it, but some are certainly more diligent than others. They're out there, and boy, I'll tell you, they're grinding and working hard. I mean, some of them will spend 3-4 hours out on the range.
Yes, yeah, definitely. There was a great little video segment. I think it was between maybe Friday and Saturday or Saturday and Sunday at this year's Masters, and it was Brant Snedeker with his teacher Todd Anderson on the putting green, and they were just doing a basically a clock game, and the camera was on them for a long time. Brant's working around the hole at different distances, and he misses, and he's got to start the game over again. And it's like it was so refreshing to actually see, a little bit of TV time on this sort of competitive practice.
Right.
It was really, really cool.
Right. And it goes to the point that if you want to – improve your game, you got to work at it. You can't just go out there and hit a few dozen golf balls and pound them out in the range one after another and then take it to the course and expect that, just because you were hitting them, a decent ball at the range, that you're going to have this phenomenal round. And 9 times out of 10, most of the average golfers don't take their range game to the course game. And at the end of it, they're frustrated and they're just, unsure, and I'm sure that's the first thing you hear, Monday morning, so to speak. The next time they're coming in for a lesson with you is, Trent, what happened?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, we really try to educate all of our students and for the golfer and the golfing public out there listening. There's a great certification program that Dr. Rick Jensen has put together, and he has what he calls 4 steps of mastery. And the first step is to understand it. Why does my ball do what it does? What do I need to fix it?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second step is you've got to practice it. It's got to be really intentional practice where it's deep, deliberate, focused practice sessions where you're not monkeying around. You're getting something done and you're seeing some improvement. And in that step, you have to know that you're getting better, some sort of feedback, whether it's a drill, a training aid, a mirror, video, whatever. If you hit balls and you say, I wonder if I'm doing it, then you're asking the wrong question. You need to know that you're doing it. And then step 3 is after you've gained a little bit better control of the golf ball, you've got to put it under pressure. Mm-hmm. And that's the transfer practice that we're talking about. That's what the book is completely about. And that allows you to do step 4, which is play with trouble and hazards lurking and obstacles and distractions and score and slow play and all those other items that we experience on the golf course. And those are the four steps, and you've got to go through them. And frankly, you know, golf's a hard game. You're always going to kind of teeter back a little bit to, I need to work on my mechanics. I fell apart a little bit there. But you're really trying to spend most of your time or get your game to a place where I think you're working on most of your practice sessions are in that transfer practice stage where you're working those competitive games. I mean, there's no better way. And there are actually some science. There's some proof that Dr. Bob Christina has done out of the University of North Carolina, Greensboro, where he actually working on your mechanics while you're doing these games has been proven to be a little bit more successful with taking your game to the course. So it's kind of blending the two, which is neat to hear.
Excuse me. Well, you know, one of the things that I used to do when I was a little bit younger, I'm getting up in years. Obviously, I'm 49, so I'm not quite on the seniors, not quite on the seniors
close.
Tour yet. But getting close. But I got the gray hair. I should have been on there 10 years ago. But anyways, But you know what I used to do, you know, Trent, was years ago when I worked at one of the courses up north. I mean, I don't know if you were tuning in earlier or not. I know you had some students and things like that you were working with, but I'm originally from Canada and I moved down to the U.S. About 7 or 8 years ago. And obviously our seasons are much shorter for golf up there. But what I used to do is when I was working at one of the courses up there, I used to go out to the practice green. And of course it was lined with bunkers and things like that. And I would go, you know, towards the end of the day when they were maybe about an hour or half an hour before they were getting ready to shut the range down. And I would go out and just throw a bunch of balls out there, and I would start working on my short game in different areas, like you said, whether it be putting and chipping and all that kind of stuff. And all day long, you know, I would see guys, like we talked about earlier, beating ball after ball. And I'll tell you, I had a phenomenal – now, I was still working on my long game a little bit, and, you know, I had some issues to work with at that time. But I'll tell you, I had a phenomenal short game. And, it, you know, a lot of times when I'd hit it, you know, maybe in that rough – I could recover, and part of the reason why I could recover is I worked on those fundamentals, but I also made some games. I you know, invented some games of my own and sort of, you know, went about that, and it helped. So, I mean,
exactly.
It, proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And frankly, this is what just about every college program in the country, I'm very thankful to say, has uses my book, and I get some great emails from coaches all across the country and how much they use it and like it. And it's really, really humbling and so great to hear. But you're right. It's about, you know, one of the games I think is when you set up a game, you're in a completely different mode. You get in the car and you drive home and you say, man, that was good. That was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's
exactly
the opposite. You drive home and you say, what the heck did I just go do for 30 minutes or an hour or two or whatever, because it was just, like you said, ball beating. And one of the games, if I can share, you brought up some short game stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One of the games, whether you have time for 9 of these or 18 of these, is you kind of paint a picture like you've missed every green in regulation today. It's the worst day of ball striking you've ever had. You can't hit a single green. And so you throw down one golf ball, and like you said earlier, you have to play it where it lies. You can't fluff it up and put it on a, you know, nice piece of grass. If it's sitting down a little bit or tight or whatever,
that's
you got to
right.
hit it. And so you chip it up or pitch it up, whatever you are, and go putt out. And you're going to do that, you know, let's say for 18 times after you putt out, grab the ball and throw it somewhere to the other part of the green and do that 18 times. And you're just kind of setting up something in your mind. How good am I with my wedges or my chipping and my putting game?
Mm-hmm.
And it really prepares you for a bad day of ball striking.
Right, and this is where really, you know, your course management comes into play as well. You know, you're in a situation where, again, like we talked about earlier, you're not always going to have that perfect lie, and you're going to be faced with situations, unlike on the practice tee, you're going to be faced with situations where, you know, the ball's sitting down in the rough or it's in a, you know, somebody else's divot, which it shouldn't be because they should be repairing those divots, but we know that that's reality. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different scenarios. And And yeah. You've got some great things. And the one nice, really great thing I like about this book, Trent, is that you've covered a lot of areas of the game. Like I started off, obviously, with putting. And again, we don't have time, obviously, to go through every single one. But you've got some chipping games here as well. Inside and Out is another one that you've got here. Maybe
correct.
You can kind of just expand on that one a little bit.
Yeah, that's a game where you put the we use string a lot. There are a lot of neat little
right.
devices that are very thin, but
mm-hmm.
string is just thread. It's just phenomenal. So, you know, what's great about all these games is you can kind of base them around your ability. So,
mm-hmm.
for instance, with this game, you might put the string 3 feet behind the hole and another piece of string
mm-hmm.
3 feet short of the hole. And you're really
mm-hmm.
just trying to see how many you can get in between the string.
Right.
You know, you can give yourself a point, 2 points if it goes in the hole, 1 point if it's in the
mm-hmm.
string, and zero if it doesn't reside inside that border, basically. And so if you're a beginner golfer, just make that, you know, put the string 8 feet behind the hole and 8 feet short of the hole
mm-hmm.
and give yourself something
right.
to aim for. And that's the cool thing about this game is it creates some pressure, some reality, and it's so much more fun. And we all picked up this game not to be aggravated and frustrated, and yet too many golfers find themselves in those places. So they're so much more purposeful, so much more fun, and meaningful.
Well, and the great thing about that particular game as an example, and well, really any of the games, but that one is what's important is the feedback that you get from it. It is so crucial. Any of the games that you decide to do, you know, that Trent has in these books, for those that are tuning in out there, you want to make sure that you're learning from the feedback that you're getting. Like he just talked about the Inside Out, you know, you're laying the string down, whether, you know, depending on your level, it might be 3 feet, 3 feet, excuse me, behind and 3 feet in front of the hole, or 8 feet, depending on your level. But you
sure.
want to observe and take note of the feedback that you're going to get from that. Where are the balls landing, and you know, how many of them are you getting inside? And take note and do that in your practice sessions. You know, when you're going, as I said earlier, when you're going to just play for the day, you don't want to do all of that stuff and get too much going in your mind. That's when you just go out and you hit a few balls to warm up and get prepared for your round. But when you've got that extra time that you want to get in there and practice, and the truth of the matter is, you know, everybody says, well, I'm busy today and I got this going and that. Make the time. If you want to improve your golf game, you need to make the time. You know, there's a lot of other things that we want to do, and I certainly don't want to take away from family time and things like that. That's obviously a good balance is important. But, you know, there's other things that I'm sure that you can give up to make that practice time if you want to improve. If you truly want to improve, you need to make that time. And these are some great ways to do it. Another one, you've got pitching here, some pitching games, you know, the bucket, change it up. You know, some great, great games here. And as I said, you know, there's a lot of them here. We can't, you know, get into all of them. But what I found, and I mentioned this at the top, Trent, was this is a great book, not only for the average golfer out there to pick up, but a great one for the teacher as well to have on hand to introduce some of these games. Because, I mean, we're, you know, we can't all remember them in our heads. So it's kind of a great teaching tool, if you will, because you can give these to your students, some of these games to work on after their sessions with you. And I'm sure that's
yeah.
what you're doing with your students.
Yeah, exactly. I've got a lot of professionals that contact me, and they're doing a seminar for high school coaches or for their team or their junior program. And they get a bunch of copies to hand out, and they're fun. There are games in
mm-hmm.
the book for every aspect. So, like you said, the book is about 230 pages, and 200
mm-hmm.
of those pages are games. So you've got
mm-hmm.
putting games, chapter on chipping games, another chapter on pitching games, bunker games, full swing games, and even on course games. And the on course games aren't, you know, typical gambling games that you do with your buddies.
Mm-hmm.
They're game strategy type of games that really direct your attention to smarter shots and get you focused in the right place mentally, the right mode, some stuff for your routine even. So
mm-hmm.
and so a wide array of games, and yes, they're a lot of professionals that utilize it and so many different versions. You know, people, hey, that game's, you know, they know that game and everybody, you know, might score it a little differently, and that's perfect. It doesn't matter, you know, what scoring system you use, as long as you're bringing score to the table, right, as long as you're incorporating score into your practice, because score is an element of the game on the course, and it's usually what obviously brings in some pressure. So bring score to your practice sessions, write it down, log it, and you can, you know, see yourself, you know, businesses track how they're doing every minute of the day, right? They just don't open up the books at the end of the year and say, hey, how'd we do? They're monitoring progress. They're constantly monitoring progress.
The unfortunate reality, Trent, there are some out there that do that, and usually they're not opening up the next year. So,
you're right.
You know,
exactly.
You know what I mean? But just to digress here for a second, how can those that are listening, how can they get a copy of the book?
They can go to my website, which is just my TrentWarnerGolf.com. And Warner is spelled a little differently, so I can spell it out a little bit. It's W-E-A-R-N-E-R, TrentWarnerGolf.com. And there's a store or a pro shop page there, and the book is right there. We also sell it on Amazon.
Okay.
We're in the process of putting together a lot of this as a website where people can actually play the games and log their scores and archive it and see some leaderboards and some really fun stuff there too that hopefully will hit the internet in a month or so. So some fun stuff coming up, but that's how you can find the book, and we appreciate all that.
Well, I'll certainly be more than happy to continue to plug this book. In fact, I'm going to keep it with me here every time that we have a live broadcast, and I'm going to give it as many plugs as I can throughout the different shows, because I think it's a fantastic – and just, Trent, just to – you know, I've said this on every program since we began. One of the purposes really of Golf Talk Live is to not only just bring on teaching professionals such as yourself, but other industry professionals that you know, golf industry professionals, and also my previous guest was originally from the fitness end, and we talked a little bit about how important, and I'm going to ask you that question in a second, but about how important fitness is to your golf game, because I think a lot of people are you know, under the misnomer that, well, you know, just swinging a club, how, you know, you're not lifting weights or you're not running sprints and things like that. But golf is an extremely physically demanding sport, much more than the average person realizes. And until you've actually gone out there and played around, especially if you walked. Now, driving a cart might be a little bit different, but until you've actually walked 18 holes, it takes a lot out of you. And, you know, this is why I wanted to develop this program, was to allow a number of professionals to come on here, because, and again, I'm not, and I've said this probably 1,000 times too, but, and I'm not knocking any other formats out there or forums, but, you know, obviously the Golf Channel's out there and they're doing some great work, but they're focusing on the tour players primarily, and also the, you know, specific instruction. And there's really not, I mean, there's a ton of golf programs out there, but most of them tend to be getting into more of the stats and things like that. And I didn't want to do that, because I just think that there's just too much competition, number one. And I really found it hard-pressed to find anywhere where teaching professionals like ourselves can come together, talk about some of the things that they're doing, give them a voice, if you will, and allow them to come on and let the average golfers, but also other teaching professionals, to tune in every week as well and get some other perspectives to the game. And I think it's, you know, as this grows, and as I mentioned earlier, we've already had some overseas professionals contact me wanting to come on the program. So it's already, you know, stretching out past the borders here in the U.S. So that's really what the premise of the program is. And, you know, Trent, if you want to chime in, if you've got anything to add to that,
that's essentially what we... That's fantastic. I think all the technology that we have nowadays allows all of us to share information so easily, and to be able to do that with the public being able to listen in and kind of chime in and hear what all these great professionals have to say is really fun. It's obviously neat for the industry to get together and toss things around and listen to best practices and all these great items, but it's really neat for the public to be able to listen in and sneak a peek on what the industry talks about. So that's phenomenal. Great to see that so many people worldwide are tuning in and becoming interested. That's outstanding.
Yeah, I'm actually really, to be honest, surprised at the response I've gotten. I mean, it's only been really live here for a very short period of time. And just in the matter of a few weeks, I mean, I've been literally bombarded with a number of professionals such as yourself from, again, not just here in the U.S., but abroad, that want to take part in this. And it's really not just about, you know, coming on and talking about themselves. It's just that they want to get in. They understand the concept behind this program and what I'm trying to do with it. And as I said, I'm not knocking any of the other mediums out there. There's a lot of great ones. But to be truthful, you know, you can be on Facebook and you can be on all these different blogs and things like that, and it's great. But nothing beats, you know, listening to a live broadcast and, as I say, chiming in if they choose to. But also this is auto-recorded, so if they're not able to tune in live, they can go back and visit the link at any time and not only listen to tonight's broadcast, but any of the previous ones as well, if they missed, you know, the previous show, so they can listen to other guests that have been on. And I just think it's great to get some different perspectives, different teaching, and I think it's good for the teaching professionals to tune in as well every week because, again, you might get somebody that's listening in here tonight that's teaching, you know, out in Nebraska or something like that that maybe isn't aware of your book and wants to get a hold of it and say, hey, I want to, you know, incorporate that into my teaching academy out here. And so that's really what we're trying to do here with Golf Talk Live, and I hope that from what I've seen so far that it's been successful. But
that's great.
You know,
that's great. It's fun.
And what I'm, you know, planning on doing in the months to come as well, just to give a little bit more zip, is obviously I'm going to go through a number of different guests and things like that. But what I want to try to put together is a segment called Coach's Corner, where we'll dedicate a segment of the program and have more than one coach on or teaching professional on at the same time, and allow a call-in, if you will, and allow some of the listeners to be able to call in, ask questions and things like that, and get some different perspectives as well. And then what we'll do is if we get enough of the teachers to sort of volunteer to come on to do that, what we'll do is we'll rotate them out so it's not the same guys week to week. The segment will be there week to week, but there'll be different ones every week so that, again, they get a full spectrum of teaching professionals.
Sure, that's really neat. I think, like you said, you know, there's some blogs and some other stuff you can go read, and you know, you might be able to fire a question at the author a little bit, and you might hear back from the author, you might not, and mm-hmm. and to do it like you're talking about here live, and be able to hear some interaction and some emotion and some questions, mm-hmm. and then take it a step farther and have actual conversations between several people and. Call-ins mm-hmm. and professionals sounds really, really fun. Very, very, very informative and beneficial for everybody involved.
Well, and that's really, again, what the premise of this program is. I just, and again, there may be something out there. I haven't found it because I've been looking around and, you know, I've been tuning into, as I know you have with some of the golf groups and things like that on Facebook and some of the other social mediums. And you know, they're great and I've learned a lot. But I've been wanting to do some kind of a radio-type broadcast for a number of years and kind of sort of put it in the back burner for a while. And I thought, you know what, this might be a good time to start it. And, of course, golf, much like yourself, is my passion. And that's why, you know, we started the program. But if you're just tuning in live right now, if you've come in a little bit late to the program, my guest at this time is Trent Warner of Trent Warner Golf. And that's from Inglewood, Colorado. And just let me ask you a quick question, being that you're from Colorado, how far were you from the storm that went through there just recently?
Let's see. We get a number of things that sneak around here in the summertime. We did have a tornado that came down real close to the airport.
Right.
And actually, some people think our airport is closer to Kansas than it is Denver, and that they're not too far off from that. But and we've had unfortunately a few fires mm-hmm. that have started and some tough winds. But basically, where I am, we're Inglewood, we're kind of basically on the south end of Denver. We're really close to downtown. We're in
right.
a great location. We get people that come from all corners of Colorado and different local states, South Dakota, Wyoming, Kansas, Nebraska. It's really nice to have people come so far to take some coaching from you. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
we've been safe here. It hasn't been 100 degrees out, so we're having a pretty good summer, and always hoping everybody across the country gets some just the right amount of moisture, not too little and not too much.
Well, here in Florida, of course, I can't say the same. We've been getting some humidity here the last few weeks, so it's been a little damp, shall we say, for lack of better words. But you know what? I'm not complaining. I mean, you know, Florida is a great state. Obviously, a lot of great golf courses down here as well. And obviously, in the summer months, it gets a little hot. But needless to say, you know, I'm toughing it out and grinding it out every day and doing what I love best. So, how can you complain about that? Let's. We'll talk a little bit about more of the book before we wrap things up, but I just wanted, as I mentioned earlier, I wanted to jump on the U.S. Open. Obviously, I'm assuming, like many of us, you tuned in through the weekend and whatnot and watched hopefully some of the live game, but obviously followed up with some of the commentary on that later on. What did you think of the Open this year?
You know what? I thought it was really, really cool. I pretty much tuned in each night when I got done mm-hmm. working. I usually teach from about 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and tune in the evening kind of at the rebroadcast. And Sunday,
mm-hmm.
of course, was Father's Day, and we always do some fun stuff up in the mountains on Father's Day. So I got
right.
to catch a little bit of the end. And what I like is I love that sort of golf course. I love the look of, you know, the gnarly bunkers and fescue. And, you know, I just
right.
love that look. I think it's so neat. And I'm not a big fan of the bulldozer clearing house and making it look, you know, perfect.
No.
But it was also great that, and everybody has different styles, so I get that, but or favorites. But I think it was really neat to be able to see that, and this might be redundant. I haven't really tuned in a lot since if there's a lot of talk about this or not, but it's great to see that a golf course doesn't have to be made terribly long to still be made mm. difficult. And, you know, you don't have to push the golf course out to 8,000 yards or, you know, that's a crazy number. But matter of fact, the Broadmoor, people are pretty familiar with the Broadmoor. It's
mm-hmm.
down here close to Denver in Colorado Springs. They're in the talks of trying to they've hosted some LPGA events and some great U.S. amateur
right.
events, and they want to try and create a U.S. Open type event for the men, and they're required to be able to figure to stretch that golf course to, I think it was 8,100 yards.
Jeez.
And certainly we're here in elevation. Denver's about 5,300 feet, and Colorado
right.
Springs is pretty similar. So the ball certainly travels nice and far here, but it just made me kind of cringe. I mean, you know, they're going to – hopefully they wouldn't have to destroy a lot of the integrity of the original golf course and the design, and I don't know how many members
mm-hmm.
are happy and how many members are for it, but I think Marion's a great example of a great track and not having to,
mm-hmm.
you know, do what all these people are, you know, trying to do in certain areas to stretch it out so far. It's, you know, we have all these initiatives of tee it forward, and then you read that
mm-hmm.
USGA is going to require the Broadmoor to make it 8,100. I mean, that's kind of nuts.
Yeah, it's great. You know, Trent, the interesting thing about the U.S. Open last week was leading up to it, of course, everybody was very skeptical that Marion would be a good venue. I mean, you know, obviously years ago when it hosted other events and things like that in that day, it was a little bit different. But with today's longer game, that was one of the real things that they criticized, you know, a lot of the different programs I listened to, is they thought, well, it was going to be just too short and just wasn't going to be tough enough. And boy, I'll tell you, they proved that wrong because,
sure did. Yeah.
You know, there was certainly some great shots throughout, but I mean, you know, number one and number two in the world ended 13 over and 14 over respectively. And even Phil ran into some difficulties there towards the end, and unfortunately didn't pull it off. And I was a little bit disappointed. I mean, he was certainly who I was rooting for. I mean, also, and I digress again, you know, I was looking forward for somebody like a Luke Donald, because Luke Donald's game, even though he's not necessarily a long player, has got a phenomenal iron game, and I thought that that would play right into his. And actually, he was in the hunt there for a little while in the earlier rounds, but then he sort of wavered. And I think, you know, as I said last week to my guest, Brian Dobby from Montclair Golf Club up in New Jersey, you know, I said to them that, you know, I think that they should have done that. Now, I know it's a different sort of kettle of fish, but, you know, Augusta National, ever since Tiger came on the tour, you know, they've lengthened it several times in order to accommodate some of these longer hitters. And I wonder if instead of having these nicely, you know, manicured rough and things like that, if Augusta changed its policy and grew the rough a little bit more than what it does, maybe they could have foregone some of the lengthening. What do you think?
Yeah, no, certainly right. I think there are, you know, different avenues to make a golf course harder, and that is obviously one of them, and certainly what the U.S. Open is always about, narrow fairways mm-hmm. and tall rough. And, mm-hmm. You know, some architects or courses just decide to put bunkering in at different places or plant a tree or take out a tree or move a tee box so the
right.
angle is a little bit more challenging. And yes, lengthening it is certainly part of it as well. So, definitely, you know, I don't know the powers that be at Augusta and if some of having some tall rough is against the rules. They've just decided
yeah.
to go the lengthening side of things. But in 1934, they had a U.S. Open at Marion, and the
mm-hmm.
winning score was 13 over par.
Right.
And certainly a tough track, and I know a different game back then, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, you're right. It was going to be really interesting to see, like you said, with all the talk leading up to the Open, what these guys are going to shoot, and it didn't bow down and wave the white flag. That course held up really really well and really nicely, and I think it's fun to see. I think, you know, you don't have to hit a lot of drivers. They hit other clubs, and obviously Phil didn't even bring a driver. I actually had a student do a little homework assignment, just trying to have some realistic expectations of his game. I said, you know what, go find out what Phil Mickelson, Justin Rose, and Luke Donald did during the week of the Open as it relates to the number of fairways and regulations and greens and
mm-hmm.
regulation. And the average between those three guys, fairways and regulation, was just under 10. And greens and regulation was 12 and a quarter. And those are the
wow.
best guys, right? You know, pretty much the top of the leaderboard there. So it goes to show you what a lot of those other guys probably, you know, how they fared and didn't do so well in that category. And I just mainly gave that assignment to a student so that he could get over his bad shots a little bit better and have some realistic expectations. And looking at those stats, he said, "Wow, you know, they think these guys are perfect and they think they were born with all this talent." And to your point earlier, these guys worked their tail
mm-hmm.
off. They worked hard since day one, and they've earned
right.
everything that they have. Nothing's handed to them. They worked hard to be where they are, and they have to work hard to stay there because there's a million guys behind them who want their spot on tour.
Well, and that's it. And there's, you know, and you know, one of the things that I talked about with one of my earlier guests, Nicole Weller. She's a LPGA teaching professional up at the Landings Club out in Savannah, Georgia, her and her husband, Ty. And, you know, one of the things that you know, she talked about, you know, because she deals with mainly a lot of the junior golfers and things like that and getting them in. But she talked about, you know, the tee at four and things and how a lot of people are just not playing realistic golf. And, you know, I said to her that, you know, that's a great program, the tee at Ford. And I think a lot of the courses really need to start incorporating that, because you get some of these guys out there and, you know, God love them, but they're just not playing well and they just can't hit very well. And they're wanting to play from the tips all the time or from champion tees, and they just don't have the game to support it. And it's a waste of time. And if they want to quicken up the game, get some of these guys to start moving forward. I mean, there's no shame in it.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. I think Butch Harmon's been saying it for 100 years. He said, you know what, attack the real problem with golf, and that's slow play. And I saw him do an ad for slow play recently, and so they're getting him involved in this Tee It Forward initiative. It is really, really fun to hit an 8-iron into a hole instead of a hybrid on a par 4. Those 240-yard par 3s aren't much fun, even if, you know, the flower beds look gorgeous and the water fountains, you know, popping up. It's not much fun when you're hitting a wood into a par 3 hole. I agree. It's a fun game, and you can make it more fun by playing a proper set of tees.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Trent, let's just sort of wrap up here. I want to give another plug again about the book. I'm talking with Trent Warner. He's the owner and obviously a teaching professional, but owner of Trent Warner Golf up in Inglewood, Colorado. And he has come out with a great book. Actually, he came out with this a few years ago, correct?
That's right. Yep. It's been out a little while now. Yep. It just keeps going.
But,
I'm really thankful.
Yeah,
for it.
Hey, that's great. Maybe you can add some more games to it and come up with an updated version. But,
exactly.
I mean, there's plenty in here. There's, like, say, a couple hundred pages. But what's really great about this book is it's chock full of some great games that, as we discussed earlier, not only can the average golfer benefit from them, but also some of the teaching professionals that are listening tonight can benefit as well. So if they want to pick a copy up, they can visit your website at trentwarnergolf.com, and Warner is spelled W-E-A-R-N-E-R, and then golf.com, of course. And you've got a pro shop there that they can go in and they can get it, or they can also, you said, get it at amazon.com?
Correct. Yeah, and actually the actual name of the book, I just recalled, goes to the same Trent Warner Golf website, so it might be easier for listeners to just type in golfscrimmages.com, and
okay,
it'll take them right there.
Okay, perfect.
Yep. And I don't, if you have another couple minutes, I can share a couple of my favorite ones if you want to, or
okay,
if, you,
sure.
if we're short on
yeah,
time, let me know.
Yeah, we're getting kind of short, but if you want to just what we can do is if you want what are the names of some of the games?
Yeah, one of them is called Drawback. If that's the only way you ever putted practice your putting game, you'd improve tenfold. The other one is a game called Imaginary Fairway, and I'll try and make it as brief as I can. Basically, you typically tend to have 14 drives during a round of 18 holes, so you're going to hit 14 drivers, and you set up an imaginary fairway on the driving range, and you see how many out of 14 end up in the range. However, you cannot hit 14 drivers in a row. Instead, you've got to hit one driver and then go pick up some other club in your bag, an 8-iron, a 6-iron, whatever it is, and hit that shot anywhere on the range. Then pick up your driver again and hit the second drive. Then go back and hit a different club, basically just a filler. So you're hitting a different club in between each of those 14 drives. It makes it more realistic, more similar to what you experienced on the golf course, and so much more meaningful.
Well, and what I used to do, very similar to that, just quickly to add, I did exactly the same thing. That's one of the ways I used to practice, is I would actually pretend I was playing a hole. I would draw that imaginary fairway, as you said, try to, you know, put them in. But what I would do is I would alternate. Maybe one time it would be a 6-iron would be my next club. Maybe another time it would be a, you know, a wedge or something like that. And I would pick a flag or something that was out in the range and, you know, pretend that I was hitting from the fairway now and sort of add, you know, obviously I couldn't do the putting until I got to the putting green, but I would pretend I was playing a hole. And I would do that a lot of times, even before I was playing around, just, you know, one or two holes, especially like the first tee. I would imagine I was playing on the first hole. So those are certainly great games to play.
Exactly.
And, you know, Trent, I appreciate you coming on the program, and I hope that you have an open invitation, as all of my guests do, to come back anytime you want. Just let me know, and I appreciate you taking the time from your busy schedule to do that and supporting the program. Again, Trent's book is Golf Scrimmages, and you can tell we're winding down, though. There's the time limit. Golf Scrimmages is the book, and you can just type in golfscrimmages.com, or you can visit Trent's own website, trentwarnergolf.com. Trent, thank you very, very much for, again, for being on the program, And I hope you will come back and visit us soon.
I will. Thanks so much for having me, Ted. I appreciate it. And have a good night.
You too. And I hope that you'll participate when we get everything ready for Coach's Corner. When we get ready
you
for
bet.
The Coach's Corner segment, I appreciate that as well. Trent, have a great evening, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks, Ted. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Just to wrap up real quick, we only got a few seconds left here. But next week, on the 27th of June, my guests, I have, again, two guests, Joel Zuckerman, who is an author of the book Pros Pro, an Extraordinary Club Professionals Making Golf Great. And, of course, Coach Tom Shaw, who is a TPI certified. He's a 12-year Divisional I coach at Vanderbilt and Vanderbilt and Tulane University, and also the founder of College Golf Game Plan. So we're going to have those two guests on next week at 6 p.m. Central Time. Thank you for joining Golf Talk Live. And if you want to visit our Facebook page, it's facebook.com/Golf Talk Live blog. Go there now and visit the web page there on Facebook and throw a few likes our way. I appreciate it. My name is Ted Oderico. I'm your host of Golf Talk Live, and we will see you or talk to you next Thursday, June 27th at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thank you and have a great evening, and God bless.